Welcome to Hashtag The Chit Show. I'm Ashley Chitty. Being a military spouse is not easy. Come along with me as I navigate this crazy life, the good, the bad, the deployments, and everything that's in between. How can we support our mental health while supporting our spouses? It's a wild ride. You're not alone. That is what I'm here for. Hey guys, welcome back. Hashtag Chit Show. I'm with my friend, Tracy LaRosa. I'm so excited to be talking to her today about adjusting to retirement. Welcome. Thank you.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
This is our second attempt at doing this, so I'm hoping and praying our interview goes fantastically. I've known Tracy for a few years now. We met through a mutual friend, Cassie, who's been on the podcast before. But just as a little bit of a background, Tracy and her husband, Eddie, they just recently retired. But they, after 35 years in the Army, they have been married for 25 years, 10 moves, 4 kids, 6 grandkids. I mean, what an accomplishment. So thank you so much for doing this with me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I can't wait to just dive right in and just, how is retirement life going?
It's actually pretty amazing. And, you know, when you're in the service, you always talk about retirement and where you're going to live and what you're going to do. And it's really hard to kind of fathom that until you actually get there. And so there's so many unknowns. And so far, it's just been wonderful. My husband has been lucky enough to not have to jump right into another job. So we've had just so much time together, which can be good and, you know, bad at the same time.
Yeah.
But it's been 99.9% good. That's been great. Yeah.
That's so great to hear. And I think that like sometimes we get kind of lost in the like, what is next and what are we going to do? And I hope it's not scary. And how do we transition? And what would you say has been like the biggest transition for you guys? Because is Eddie working right now? Or like, did he just immediately go into a job? Or how did you guys transition and know where to go?
So as far as knowing where to go, as far as where to live, all of our families in Washington State, and we knew that, you know, after being gone and away for so long and our parents are getting older, that we wanted to be close. And so we're currently in Spokane, Washington, and my sister lives here and has lived here for about 15 years. And it's about 2 hours from our hometown. But every time we came to Spokane, it just felt good. And, you know, we like the area, we like the Four Seasons. And so we just always thought we'd come to Spokane. So that's where we ended up. But as far as like just retirement part, Eddie is just, he's not working. So he once in a while picks up these contracting jobs. So he'll do like a week job somewhere. But it's totally like one of those, you know, the guy's like, hey, do you want to work? And he's like, yeah or no. So it's not something that's consistent or any kind of commitment. He can say yes or no. So that's been really nice, have a little extra travel money. We've got a huge trip coming up, and so we've been saving for that. He has not working yet.
That's amazing, though, like that you guys can feel like that freedom of just like the fully retiring and not have the pressure of, you know, just jumping right in and being able to give yourself some like grace and time. I think that it's a lot of with retirement is like, what is next? What are we going to do? I have to have a job. I have to find some kind of, you know, money flow, because this is all we've been doing for so long. That's really great that you guys are giving yourself the time to just be.
Well, and I think, yeah, exactly. And I think it depends on everybody's situation. Cause you know, like Cassie and I have talked about it and Cassie is like, man, I want your retirement life. But you have to think about, you know, we're probably 15 years further than most people. Most people don't stay in the military 35 years, you know, they stay till 20 or, you know, a little beyond that. So like, if we would have retired when Eddie was 20 years in, our twins would only be 5. So, you know, we probably would be getting a carry-on job and all of that. And so it's just a difference in the length that he was in. And the other thing too is that, you know, the whole disability portion of it, you know, when you get out, you go through all that disability not training, that when they give you a rating, right? And mm-hmm. so for us, that was a huge, like, if he got 100%, it would really change the trajectory of whether he'd have to have a job or not. And if he didn't, then we'd really have to look at that.
Right.
Yeah. So lucky for us, he did.
So. Yeah. And I think that that's huge too, because if, and like you said, you're right. Like, I mean, my husband's at 22. So yeah, you're right. 35 mm-hmm. years is a huge difference between 20, mm-hmm. 21, as opposed to 35 years. And how are the kids doing? Were they loving just being their dad home? Like, how was that an adjustment for the kids? I mean, because we're so used to like finding our friends through other military friends.
Yeah. So it was a good transition as far as like when we left Germany, they graduated from high school and we moved and he left the army. So it was kind of smooth in that way that they didn't have to start, you know, again, fresh. However, coming to a brand new place and they were going to community college because we were waiting on the disability piece of his retirement. We told the kids, just go to community college initially. If dad gets 100% in Washington State, they'll cover their tuition at any public university. So we were like, go to community college first and, you know, we'll pay for that. And then if dad gets 100%, you can go wherever you want to go in Washington. So going to community college is kind of like, it would be the same as like for you and me, you go to class, you come home, you don't really connect with people too much, you know, as if you were living at a university. So it was difficult that first year-ish because they didn't really have a way to really connect with friends. Now it's kind of like it's their first adult experience as, you know.
Yeah.
And so same as it would be for you and I. So it was difficult. And, you know, they've now graduated. Hunter now is at the Washington State University. And Haley, she's really good at, you know, connecting with people online, you know, all those dating apps and stuff they've got. You can do that for friends too. So that's kind of how she found her tribe. Yeah.
And how are you doing socially? Like, and that adjustment to not having that buffer as a military, either whether being at a base, an officer spouses group, how are you doing at finding your connections? Because we're both extroverts and I know we enjoy people and time. Yeah. So how are you doing?
It is so hard. That has been the biggest struggle because, you know, I am an extrovert and I do love people and bringing people together, and not having that community, I would say, is the most difficult part of it. Now, my husband is not like me at all. He doesn't need to have friends. He doesn't need to leave the house or do things with people. And I do. And so I joined a gym right away because that's always been kind of my connection. And you know, and I've taught fitness classes. I'm just subbing here. So I don't really have, you know, when you're a teacher, it's easier to meet the people and everything. When you're just a person in the class, you know, conversations are a little more difficult. It's, you know, it's not like I'm going to go up and be like, hey, you want to meet my friend, you know? So I put myself out there and I've tried to get involved in some like hiking groups and stuff. And, but that's, definitely the hardest part. And I don't know, you know, there is a military community here because there's an Air Force base, but it's about 30 minutes away. So I don't know, you know, if maybe we lived closer there, if there'd be some other way to meet people, but it's been hard. Yeah.
I think that's probably like my biggest fear. Like every time, like every year, I'm like, okay, what are we doing, Patrick? And he's like, you know, we're staying or whatever. And I just, and then, you know, you it's kind of like a catch 22. Like on one hand, you're like, yeah, I'm so done. On the other hand, you're like, whoa, but this is my life. And I really enjoy being like an extra, like, I know Joanne and I are getting ready to do an episode about on-base living and off-base living, to where like I choose it because I just need people around me all the time. And you may have a crazy here and there, but for the most part, I just love that kind of community and seeing people all the time. And so I can only imagine it would be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be, that's exactly the same. It's like living on base versus off. So I am living off base right now and having all those kinds of feelings.
Those feelings of like, how do I make the connections and how do I put myself out there when my kids aren't my buffer anymore? Like, that's hard.
Yeah.
Like the kids or the military. Yeah. Your buffer. Do you miss it?
Really? Yeah. I mean,
really?
I do miss the friendships. Like, definitely.
Sure. That's understandable.
Like, you can probably attest to this, that the friends that I have from the military are the best. Like, I have so many
yes.
really amazing friends. I mean, when we moved back from Germany, we landed on the East Coast and we did 1 month drive to the West Coast.
Oh,
and all
that's
along
right.
the way, yeah, we planned our trip by stopping and seeing all the people that we knew from
yeah.
the military. And I could tell you, I probably have like 10 such tight friends, you know? And
yeah.
So yeah. that I do miss, but now that we're retired, I can go visit them all.
Yeah. Whenever you want. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody's yeah. strapped down. That's
so,
for sure.
Yeah. The military part. I don't really miss it. I think it was, you know,
yeah.
we knew it was our time to go. And so
yeah,
we're ready for that next, next chapter.
I find that this chapter, and I know that we're getting close to the end, you know, we got maybe a couple of more moves ahead of us, but I find this move, particularly that's coming up, probably one of the hardest ones I've done. And I don't know if it's because I can see kind of that light at the end of that tunnel. And I don't know if how I'm feeling. I feel there's so many emotions that go through being a part of the military. And the uncertainty, I'm pretty sure, is what you do not miss. Like,
yeah, no, that, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having your husband gone, all that stuff.
Yeah. Just like in never knowing when, like I can almost tell when he comes home. Like I knew it the other night. He had a look on his face. Like I just knew something was up. And I just was like, I'm not going to miss this. Mm-hmm. And I said that. I was like, I will never miss that. You know, like just, you've had a
yeah.
phone call today and I don't know what it's about. And I don't know if I want to know what it's about. You know, like those.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, the stress level and stuff, like my husband keeps saying, you know, if he gets another job, he doesn't want a high stress job, you know,
because
he's had that for so long. And
and
so I think it's been so nice.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people, like we talked about before, that just slide right into another job. And it depends on your situation. But it's been really nice that he hasn't had to do that, you know, and just can take the time.
That's really amazing, too. And did you give yourself time to kind of like, was there a grieving moment? Like say after you guys got to Washington, you settled, your stuff got, you know, delivered. Were you like, not that you made a mistake, but was it more of like, now what? Or did you already just have that plan? Like, did you give yourself time to grieve, I guess? Mourn, maybe.
Yeah. I wouldn't say there was any grief. I think we were excited, you know, so excited for
That's
the
awesome.
Future. Because we'd always talked about, I mean, we've been talking about this dream home we want to build forever. If it's going to happen, I don't know. But, you know, it was like, you know, we want to travel and we want to do all these things. And so we really hit the ground running as far as travel goes. I mean, this last year and a half, we've been gone so much, you know, whether that's together. I mean, we had a friend reach out to us soon after we moved back and said, hey, I need a house sitter at my house on Oahu for 3 weeks. Do you want to come? And we were like, let me think about that. Yes. You know, because we could do that, you know. Now they had 14 cats. That was kind of the trade-off, but it was a little crazy, but you know what? We got to stay in Hawaii for 3 weeks. And, so things like that, you know, and I got to go spend a week with Cassie in Nashville. And
so
it really hasn't been. And now we're kind of not sure when we're going to build that house because we're really enjoying traveling.
And I was going to say the freedom to see your kids because you do have older kids and you have grandchildren. So it's like just the freedom to see them. And I'm sure they're loving that. Like, I can't imagine. Just that.
Yeah, we just had our grandson for a couple of days for spring break and he was here at Christmas and I spent a month with my daughter and her three girls in August.
Yeah.
So, you know, we wouldn't have been able to do that before. So there's no grieving going on.
Good. I'm glad to hear that because I've worried about that too. Like there would be like not a resentment, but a regret. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And again,
I think it's
also in the time period that timing is probably part of it. You know, like of in ages, I guess you would say, or years that you're in. That's what I'm gathering. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it just depends. And like I said, you know, the whole disability piece came into it, where it made, once he got that 100%, you know, we knew our kids' college was paid for, you know. I mean, that's another thing that people should think about, is all the benefits that there are for you after you retire. And especially if you get 100%, you know, there's a lot. Mm-hmm. And so that can really make your transition and your just easier, but you just don't know that until it happens. Right. Mm-hmm. So,
and what would you say is, like, what would you say, a successful military marriage, what would you say is the key to it? Like, with all the absences, with all the uncertainties, with all the moves, challenges, changes, what would you say would be your biggest tip, or that you would give, an advice you would give somebody?
I mean, I think that's 100%. I was previously married, and
same.
Lost trust. And so it's like, once that's gone, you know, how can you trust someone that's deployed for, you know, 6 months or goes on these old trips or whatever. So I think that's, you know, that's always been huge. I think too, my husband, Eddie, always chose for us. Like, not that you have a lot of choice in the military, but when he could, it wasn't like, ooh, I really going to do this deployment because it's going to bump my career up. It's like, you know, what's going to be best for my family? Because I know a lot of guys out there that choose just their career path. And it's like, and you know, at the end, when you retire and this is all said and done, nobody cares what you did in the military. That's all gone. It's really your family, you know, like, is that family still together? How was your time for your family? And so, you know, we've had some really great moves, and not that we chose, but like, I mean, we've lived in Hawaii twice. We got to end up in Europe for our last. And so that's been some really good. Mm-hmm. So I would just say, communication. I mean, obviously, you know, just being on the same page, like being a team, like being a real team unit, can really make that.
I think that's huge.
Everything just,
I'm glad you said about like being on the same page and knowing that it can't be all career driven for him, because I had this conversation with my husband when we were trying to figure out what we were going to do. And I said, I know when I met you and when we, you know, got married, we had this path and this was the trajectory that you were on. And you know, for the longest it had been that way. But I think that we've changed. And do you know, he was just like, I don't think I would have changed it had you not said that. And not in a bad way. He was just like, we're just so like, how do I say it? They're so ingrained that this is what they're supposed to do, and you should do this, or you can't be this, or you can't be that. Right. And I said, I just think that our paths have changed, you know, circumstances like with our son and just different things that, like, I just think that although that looks great, and would be great for you, but I don't think it would be great for us as a family.
Yeah, agree.
And he was like, I'm glad you laid it out like that. And it was a hard conversation. It was not easy, you know? And he obviously was like, wow, I guess I just never saw myself not doing X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. And there was some tears but I think we had to get down and to that kind of like trust level of like, I think it's time to have the hard conversations, you know? Needs to move in a different way.
Yeah. And there's a lot of expectations put on the spouses. Like, even though this is their job, we are expected to do certain things where in no other job that our husband could have would the wife be expected to do a certain level thing. And I always thought, I always said, like, I was a terrible army spouse because I didn't want to be the FRG leader. I didn't want to do all those things. Yeah. Like, you know, I had little twins at that time when he was like company command and stuff like that. And so he just told them, you know, there's lots of women out there that want to do that. My wife's not going to do that because she's got little ones at home, you know? And so I think too, like some of those paths that you were talking about, when you get into those upper levels, there's a lot of pressure on the spouse and a lot of expectation. Yeah. And when you're running a household and you've got little kids at home, that's a lot to take on because, you know, I have friends that are in that position right now. And I just think, heck, I am so glad that we didn't have to do that. Yeah. You know, like,
yeah,
we dodged that bullet, you know?
Yeah. I have to say,
you still would have retired at the same time. It wouldn't have changed.
Sure.
Anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that like communication is key and having the hard conversations. I think that's what I'm a little worried about now. You know, it's been, our life is crazy enough as it is right now. We're about to put a command, you know, aspect on it. And I'm like, man, am I ready to even be thrown into that type of position? And again, the pressure is real on me. And I'm just like, wow, you know, it's just really, really intense. I think it's a lot of like change that is coming.
Yeah.
The biggest surprise about being, other than the freedom and everything like that, biggest surprise that you say, hey, and it could be good or bad. Hey, mm-hmm. I didn't know that. Or what would you say would be the biggest surprise about being retired?
Well, I guess we've had a lot of time together because even leading up to his retirement, his job gave him a lot of time off to do all the taps and all those
And
all those things you have to do. So obviously,
yeah,
you're together a lot, you know, especially when you're working.
Right.
And so
right.
We joke that when he goes and does these contracting jobs, it's like free counseling, right? Like,
yeah.
See ya.
Yeah.
The schedule, I think, because every day we're like, gosh, it was such a weird day. I'm like, every day is that way, honey. Like, there's no, like,
you don't
have to set an alarm. You don't have to, you know, we don't have little kids at home. Neither of us are working. And so it's kind of like, what are we going to do today?
That
we feel
it
productive.
Would be weird.
So I think,
it
is very weird. And I'm a very structured person. Like, I need to go to the gym in the morning. Like, if we don't do the things that we say we're going to do, I'm like, oh, it throws off my day.
So having a non-structured schedule.
It is.
I feel like we thrive on that. I have to have it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. That would probably drive being together and not having this structured day around it, I think would be really,
and being
really
very different. So like, I'm, like you said, I'm a people person. I need to be out and about, and he would be totally fine just to stay home and do whatever, work on his genealogy or something, you know, like,
yeah.
It's a good balance.
It's a good balance.
So many projects. He's not bored at all. He's always doing something.
He's not bored at all.
No.
I'm just so glad to hear you guys are doing fantastic and that the kids are good. And everybody seems to be doing well in this like transition of retirement. That's really great. Yeah. I'm happy for
you. It's been wonderful. And like I said earlier, we're leaving in a month. We're doing 8 weeks in Europe. So, you know, that's like,
really, where are you going? Where all are you going to go?
Okay. So the way it happened was when we were in Germany, we had tickets to Running with the Bulls and then COVID. So that got canceled and we couldn't get a refund on those tickets, but they said we could push it out. So we planned it for this summer, which it's in July. Well, my husband we also had tickets to go to the Monaco Grand Prix, and that's in May. He's like, I want to do both. So now we've got these bookends of May and July, and let's just fill it in. So we were starting in Iceland. That was another COVID trip that got canceled. So we're doing a camper van in Iceland for a week.
That's awesome.
Going around the whole island. And then we're going, we're doing Portugal, Lisbon and Porto. We're going to Copenhagen. We're going to Norway. We're doing, I know he's probably listening to me and saying you're forgetting something. We're going to Northern Spain. We'll be in Pamplona for the Running of the Bulls. And we're going to end in Barcelona. Oh, south of France. That's where Monaco is.
Oh.
So we're starting. We're going
Monaco,
to Monaco.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's where Cassie and I went to Monaco for my 40th. And the races were there at the time that we were there as well, because my birthday is the end of May. So we were there. We went to the south. We flew into Nice and we drove over and we had a fantastic time. I've never felt so poor, but we had a fantastic time.
We're going to probably look homeless, like, even though.
We were driving. I have to tell you, my listeners will love this too. We were driving in this Honda. Cassie's going to listen and be like, it was a Civic, it was a whatever it was, but it was a Honda. And we went into this like parking garage and we're like going, trying to find parking, and I'm talking Maserati, Bentley, like anything you can imagine. It was just off the charts. Like the Porsche was the Honda of all the cars right there. And we see this guy in this parking garage and we're like, is there still parking? Or like, and he just looks at us and he's just like, yeah, you're going to have to go to the top. And we were like, oh, I guess that's where the Hondas go to park. Because there's like no Ubering in Monaco. When you go into Monaco, there's no Ubers there. So anyways, but that's, it was fantastic. So we had the best time. Yeah.
We're looking forward to it. I'm so excited.
Yeah, it was great. You guys had a wonderful time.
Yeah, we wouldn't have been able to do this if we weren't retired. So
I was just about to say, living the retired life. I feel like that's just wonderful. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Tracy, thank you. Thank you for doing this interview with me. The cluster that it was in the beginning, trying to get it. I just thank you for being so patient. I appreciate it so much. I loved chatting with you. And I hope you and Eddie really do enjoy that retirement life. More and more.
Thank you.
So
we're doing everything we can to enjoy it. So
I can't wait to hear more and follow you more. So, but until next time, thank you, Tracy. I hope to have you on again. Maybe in like a group, we can do a big group little interview.
That'd be fun. That'd be fun.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening today. If you loved today's episode, share it on social media and tag another military spouse. You can find me on Instagram at AshleyChitty1. More importantly, don't forget to hit that fancy subscribe button because you don't want to miss out on #ChitShow.